I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program was brought to you by Itoen, the leading green tea company and makers of Oi Ocha, Japan's number one selling green tea. For more information, visit itoen.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and a director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, so I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Kumiko Jitsukawa, who is the founder of Kichu, which is devoted to convey the importance of Japanese tableware with stories behind seasonal foods. And as you may know from your dining experience at Japanese restaurants, tableware plays a very important role in Japanese cuisine. Recently, I was told by several American chefs that they had switched from plain white tableware to Japanese-style tableware at their restaurants for better expression of their cooking styles. So we'll talk about what is special about Japanese tableware, their different styles, and how to choose one for yourself, and much more. So, hello, Kumiko. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Hi.
So you came to New York in 2001 to study at New York School of Interior Design and worked at as a successful lighting designer. So maybe you can tell us more about your background.
Yes, my background is interior design. In Japan, my major was space design in art school. Mm. I really want to create the mood.
Right, okay.
So... it's funny you call a successful lighting designer, but actually the fact is I work a very good project.
Mm, like the John George restaurant,
yes,
at Trump Tower.
That was one of my favorite. Yeah.
Right, the lighting there, it's amazing. It's like a drapey, but kind of like a modern sharp element. So it's not too sweet.
And, yeah. Really, so like, big chandelier is really, you know, one of my favorite.
Mm, okay. And I mean, you also are professionally trained as a kaiseki chef before you came to New York. So why and how did you learn cooking kaiseki?
Actually, I'm not professionally trained.
Okay.
I'm just learning.
Okay.
It's kind of a long story. I actually learned a kaiseki meal at the Kawamura family, which is, you know, I represented Kifumi Kawamura ceramics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so just, you know, to me,
yes,
learning kaiseki, that by itself is a commitment. It's like, I would never take a class of kaiseki before. But so you were interested in kaiseki cuisine, maybe because of that aesthetics?
Actually, that time, you know, when I was 20, so I was not really interested in Japanese culture at all.
Mm.
I was, but I didn't pay attention, so I was, you know, was more interested in more Western culture at that time. But that time, it happened, my mother was sick. She had a cancer, and I need to take care of my mom. And my good friend of mine, Kayoko, she's tea ceremony teacher, and she married Kifumi Kawamura, who is ceramic artist.
Right.
And so every day I have to go to hospital and, you know,
right,
it's kind of difficult time, and she asked me come over for, you know, fun. My mother-in-law is teaching, you know, kaiseki you know, cuisine mm. at home. And, you know, why not? Right. So I followed her suggestion and I came. Mm. I went to, you know, the class. But I was youngest and my teacher is, you know, my teacher is Kifumi's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so strict. And I was so nervous and, you know, I was youngest. And the student are, you know, older than my parents' age.
Mm.
So I was not sure I enjoyed, but I learned a lot of things.
You went to relax and then you were like a spalta condition. Right. Okay. But it sounds like that changed your life eventually.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. Right.
Okay. And so when and how did you become interested in Japanese tableware?
I didn't interested in particular Japanese tableware, but I think my mother liked it, and she's making, you know, her hobby, you know, she has many hobby, and one of her hobby is, you know, doing kamakurabori. Mm-hmm. This is this plate.
Okay.
This, yeah.
Well, we have a beautiful tray, and a wooden tray in
so,
the studio.
And, you know, same again. So I was, when I was young, you know, most of people were not really interested in our own culture.
Mm.
So I didn't pay attention.
Mm. That's classic. Right? Even I started to pay attention to Japanese culture fairly recently.
But that's good.
Right.
So, but I really like, you know, tableware somehow. Western or Japanese, because it's just a beautiful
mm.
piece. But, you know, I went to art school and my attention is different things.
Mm.
So, but you know, we use tableware every day when we eat food.
Right.
So it's always with me. So why don't use, you know, beautiful stuff.
Mm. Mm. That's interesting that you said that because I started to, you know, write about food in this country. And mm. then whatever you go, especially before, mm. only like white, plain
yeah.
shapes may be a little different, mm-hmm. but the plain, you know, porcelain, like all the similar ceramics.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, oh, wow, plate can be only simple, plain, like white.
Yeah,
so,
white, yes.
Yeah.
And the same design and same set.
Right, and the texture.
Yeah.
Right. So that really makes Japanese tableware a little
yeah,
different.
It's different. And also when I was, you know, long time ago, when I was really young, my aunt house, she collected beautiful tableware, mm-hmm. the Western and Japanese. But, you know, like 6 or 7 year old girl, you know, I was sitting at the chair, you know, sofa, and she served me orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think she doesn't have, you know, crappy, you know, cheap one.
Right.
And she served me orange juice with beautiful thin glass.
Mm.
So when I drink orange juice, and I feel like, oh my God, taste is different depending on the glass. That was my sensation.
Mm. Oh,
so
wow.
This is one memory I remember,
right.
you know, related to my, you know, strong memory to related to my tableware.
Mm. So you started at a very high level.
At that time, yes.
Right. Okay. But it sounds like, you know, the moment you really got interested in and the ceramics was when you were at the Kalamla family, when you were learning
yeah.
at...
Yeah,
cooking.
Yeah, kaiseki cooking, and also, you know, how to arrange the meal with, you know, mm. all tableware is his stuff, you know, his works,
right.
and his father's stuff, and his grandfather's stuff, so...
Mm. Right, so we're going to talk about this whole amazing artist family later,
mm-hmm.
but, so, you know, the kaiseki cuisine is mm-hmm. always not just food, but bowls and plates, these are very mm-hmm. important,
yeah, very
so
important.
I'm sure they have the whole sets of most amazing
yeah.
art pieces at the table.
Yes.
Right, okay, so what is so special about Japanese traditional tableware? Like, I think, and I was actually very impressed that on your website, you know, there's a concept of kitchu,
mm-hmm.
and then a dining table is a stage of in the performance.
Like, yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's, you know, I was thinking, you know, what is the best way to explain to non-Japanese people?
Mm.
You know, we, you know, food is, you know, we should enjoy, you know, anyhow, but it's better to paying attention for all detail to how to enjoy. If people know more and people can enjoy. And dining table is like a stage set.
Just like a lighting.
Yes.
The mood.
Yes. Creating better show. And also ingredients is, you know, our cast of the performance. So, you know, people are thinking who will be cast in the lead and the supporting role. And this is like a main dish and side dish. Right. And, you know, all performance should be fresh and colorful.
Yeah, and are you said in that the section, you said the balance of texture, color, and nutrition, that's all the whole cast. Perfect cast member, you know, selection. Right. And I was thinking about this, you know, texture, color, and nutrition. You know, there's a word in Japanese called gomi goshoku. So I think the gomi is, of course, a sweet, sour, salty, bitter umami. And the colors are red, yellow, blue, white, black. And then these, this principle naturally balances texture, you know, color and the colors and the whole, you know, nutrition too, naturally. So... yeah, that's, I think, kind of a Japanese table principle.
Right. And the meal itself is performance. You should enjoy the performance. The food is performance.
Right.
Yes. And tableware is a costume in a performance. And famous, one of the famous ceramic artists said, his name is Rosanjin. It's utsuwa wa kimono. It's like cloth is the... a tableware is like a cloth for the food. So in English, fine feather makes fine birds. So it makes looks good. So if you use, you know, beautiful, you know, tableware and, you know, arrange very simple fresh meal, it's going to be very beautiful.
Even if I'm not a good chef, if I have nice plates on the bowls, I can
think of that's enough.
Yeah, the, by the way, this Rosanjin, you know, he's a good name to know because he lived like, you know, late 19th century to the mid, you know, 20th century. And he's an artist, painter, potter, calligrapher, chef.
Yes.
And I had personally, he was a very difficult person.
Because, personality is, it's very difficult.
Yeah, because he lived like, you know, whole families. He was kicked out of the, you know, family. He's like the father killed himself. Like, really difficult life. But I think he lived for expressing beauty.
Yes. So. Artist is always difficult. Not always, but, you know, many times. I should not say that, but sometimes, yes.
Okay, so listeners, it's a Rosanjin. It's a good name to know. Like, sounds like you know Japanese culture.
And also, do you know related the Kichu to Rosanjin?
Well, do you want to tell us about that?
No.
Okay, well, later, when we talk about the family, because it's such a deep story. So, okay, and I just wanted to mention, so Japanese tableware, special, I think, because season is always primary focus to set the theme of Japanese dining table. And the sense of season is communicated not only through food, but also, you know, the whole selection of serving vessels like you have. And for instance, like cherry blossoms in spring, cool-looking glassware in summertime, and like colored forage for autumn. And, you know, like elsewhere, it's good for feeling warmth in wintertime. So, and then the Western dining traditions tend to focus on a set of dishware and cutlery from the same brand, like... typically like British or French, you know, just companies. And, yeah, but Japanese tradition loves the idea of mix and match. And the mix and match can be just patterns, not just patterns, but materials and everything. So lacquerware, metalwork. And regional.
It's more playful, the concept is totally different.
So you are like a curator of the table.
I can say maybe dining hall space or, you know, experience. Because I worked for, you know, lighting.
So I think you found the right mission job.
it's really far, but for me, there's something common.
Okay. And so, I mean, you know, like we've been talking about your job and this your job, current job. So is there anything common between lighting design and the Japanese tableware? With you personally?
I think there is, you know, big, you know, they look very different. But for me, I'm using my past experience from lighting design.
Mm-hmm.
My first boss was French. He is very poetic and mm-hmm. very artistic. And he said lighting can create a kind of imprint to the memory.
Mm.
Very often you didn't recall architectural detail of a space, but what remained with you in the sense of its atmosphere. So tableware is for, you know, enriched dining experience.
Mm.
It's become memory.
Mm.
It's kind of linked for me.
Right.
Linked. And tableware itself is not main role, but it's very important role for creating beautiful presentation.
Mm.
So it's creating atmosphere and you have good feeling and make a good mood.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, the typical New York City restaurants, it's too dark sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you make it a little brighter, you can see it. You are in charge of this whole producing, the whole experience.
I have some argument with my ex-French boss, because he wants to create a very sexy mood, especially for very nice restaurant.
Yeah.
But I really cannot see the menu.
Like iPhone. Like glaring blue light. And they're just showing the food. So, yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So, so why did you start Kichu in 2014?
It's a long story. I was holding this idea such a long time. I didn't know. But I really wanted to, but I didn't know how to make it as a business.
Mm.
When I work as a lighting designer, my coworker asked me to make sushi so many times.
Mm.
And one day, we did a sushi party.
Because you're Japanese, you have to make sushi.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I was asked so many, you know, many times all the time. And I just prepare, you know, prepare sashimi and rice and, you know, seaweed. You know, we have temaki sushi party. It's like making by yourself.
Like hand roll.
Yeah. Right. So, but my coworker said, wow, this is my best sushi in my life.
Oh, wow.
So this is, you know, I can make better one. And then I can make chirashi.
Mm.
And then, you know, people are so impressed.
Mm.
And, you know, I was, you know, very, it was very interesting. And one day I brought, you know, his tea bowl for matcha and, you know, bring all, so one day I brought a tea bowl for matcha at office and I make matcha.
Right, like and a tea ceremony, like traditional.
Yes, but I use, you know, a small espresso cup and I serve for everybody.
Mm.
But that time, matcha was not really popular and people are, you know, afraid of drinking very thick, bitter, you know, green liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But people said, oh my God, this is so fresh and something like eating salad.
Wow.
And my French boss really liked it. He always said, oh, this is one, you know, only reason to hire you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must be really good.
And also I, when I was, you know, I spent some time in Brazil, in Rio, and I was asked the same question, you know, can you make sushi?
Mm-hmm.
And I have really great time over there. Mm. And, you know, I love music and spend in Rio de Janeiro a long time. And, you know, before I leave, I really want to show my appreciation. Mm-hmm. I made a sushi party.
Right.
And people really love it.
Mm.
And I feel like, oh, I can make, you know, someone's happy with this, you know, food. So, and also another thing is, I don't know, can I tell?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Also, I have a good friend. She's a successful artist. And sometimes she asks me to cook when she invite a museum curator and, you know, collector when she wants to show her new works or, you know, talking about next exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's a really good friend of mine, and I cook for the party, and people, you know, enjoy, and, you know, I'm very happy. But I always feel if tableware is nice, it would be better.
Mm.
And one time I decided to bring my own stuff.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I cook, you know, simple meal, maybe, you know, soup and appetizer and maybe chirashi.
Mm-hmm.
But people are so pleased.
Because the costume was good.
Yes.
Right.
So I really want to do more.
Mm.
And I'm very interested in other culture because, you know, there's many things all over the world.
Right.
But people are very interested in my culture. Mm. I just want to show what I, you know.
Right. So to summarize your whole concept, you came up with the idea of kitchen, which is, you know, the theme is tableware, and then you provide services, I mean, starting from selling amazing tableware and some other. We're going to talk about the other service later. But, so what is the meaning of a kitchu?
Kitchu is meaning everything is within.
Mm-hmm.
All emotions are within, such as happiness and joy and sadness.
Mm.
So when we share the food and drink, we can share this emotion.
Mm, usually it's hidden somewhere.
Yes, hidden.
But
I think it's, you know, when you drink sake and, you know, something like a happiness occasion or sometime, you know, sad occasion, but we can share, you know, our emotion.
Right. Yeah. It's so deep, but it's true.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people may be hiding without knowing they're hiding, but it comes out naturally.
Yes.
Right? And especially with the beautiful tableware.
Uh-huh.
Right. So happy table sitting.
Yes.
Can open up everything.
That's
right. Okay. So what kind of tableware do you offer?
Selling. First, I focus on teacup and a sake cup because people can touch and feel and people can use it.
Mm.
And, you know, there is, you know, a very beautiful tableware in Europe. Its price is also expensive, but, you know, the same, you know, mass production.
Right.
So this one is, each piece is unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like an art piece.
Right, so it's by the Kawamura family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. How many generations are they? Like the third generation?
No, I think it's his family was working as a ceramist more than third generation.
Really?
Yeah, but in Kamakura, that place is, you know, his grandfather started to take over this kiln.
Right. So the kiln was owned by, you say, the Rosanjin?
Used to,
right.
Yes.
Right. Wow, that means a lot.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So, okay. So basically that work from, you know, the Kawamura family, that's called the Kichuyo. Yo means like...
Kirin.
Right, kirin.
Yes.
So they are pretty expensive,
high-end
pieces. Right? Because I've seen that there's like advertisement for the exhibition at a big department store.
Oh,
of his,
yes.
Mr. Kawamura's work. So, yeah, it must be very high-end.
Mm, right? Yeah. Usually he's making like art piece for tea ceremony, like a water jar or, you know, teacup, tea bowl. Or a big vase or, you know, big plate.
Mm, so do you now offer beyond teacups, sake cups?
I think, as you know, my concept is, you know, I want to convey how important tableware is.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to start this. But I have requests, you know, people wants to have more big piece. And now I'm working with Kihumi to making, you know, custom big piece.
Oh, yes. Well, what kind of big piece?
It's like a big base as inter decoration.
Okay.
And also big plate. Like, yes, like this side, yes.
Oh, wow. So who are your customers? like, you don't have to name the name, but what kind of people?
It's, you know, people want to have this, you know, big piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's wealthy people.
Mm.
And because house is very large, and people are looking for, you know, some decoration.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and also, you know, people has a party at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we, I'm interested, if I want to own little cups or something I can use every day, do you
Yes, it is.
Things like
you know, I can sell, you know, my concept is I just want to sell, you know, each one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also two set might be good.
Right.
You know, you have pair.
Right.
But the thing is, I realize in Western, people want to have a set. I want to have a 10.
Right.
So I was kind of surprised. And, oh, but I think is, you know, each piece, you know, or one piece you can buy your own cup. Right. And maybe next year you can buy another cup.
Right.
So maybe, you know, a good way to buy
Yeah,
it.
And gradually have like this mix and match concept in your cabinet.
Yes.
Like cupboard, so that's good.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, we have a beautiful cup in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a really light beige. And then, yeah, Kumiko made a nice green tea. So this is, how much would it be if I wanted to get one?
This is 180.
Mm. Okay.
But well, this is, you know, a teacup, but it's bigger size than usual.
Mm.
But, you know, Kihumi made a smaller one. But, you know, I asked him to make a bigger one because in New York, people are using big cup.
Mm-hmm.
And also this one I can use for ice cream. And also, you know, I can use for appetizer. If you buy, you know, bigger teacup, you can use in many way, so it's worth it.
Yeah, it's, I can really visualize a new colorful, you know, fresh vegetables.
And yes.
Right. Yeah.
Its color is standing out.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to put like a fresh green asparagus.
Oh,
right now
that's
in
nice.
It,
yes.
Right?
This is the season.
Okay, so it's a versatility in Japanese ceramics too. You can use it as a cup or, you know, like in bowls for dishes. Okay. So let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about different types of Japanese ceramics. So please stay with us.
Itoen, the leading green tea company and makers of Oi Ocha, Japan's number one selling green tea, offers an array of award-winning ready-to-drink teas, premium tea leaves, tea bags, and antioxidant matcha powder. From the refreshing taste of tea's tea, brewed with only the purest of teas, to matcha love, taking a modern take on an ancient ritual, Itoen celebrates the authentic tastes of Japan with their 50-plus years of tea-making expertise. For a natural energy boost, try Sencha Shot, packed with healthy catechins and vitamin C. Do visit the Matcha Love Store in the Mitsuo Marketplace located in Edgewater, New Jersey for their signature matcha ice cream and shakes. Hoji and black sesame are also a must. With a selection of delicious teas, teaware, and gift sets, Matcha Love by Itoen is not to be missed. For more information, visit itoen.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Kumiko Jitsukawa, who is the founder of Kitchen New York, which is devoted to convey the importance of Japanese tableware with stories behind seasonal foods. And like we said, we have a beautiful cup from Kitchen New York, and it's $180. And then if I touch, my mouth touches it, it's amazing. It's nothing more than experience from a teacup, so
yes.
I think this is well worth it.
It's good, thank you.
So, other than selling tableware, you offer interesting programs, and one of them is a food educational program for children. It's called Itadakimasu. So, what is it?
As I told you, when I was young, I experienced, you know, tableware is very important for enjoying the food. In New York, many people using plastic. So, if necessary, it's fine, but not necessary all the time. So I like to teach to the children, it's very important for the tableware.
Right. So, like the same memory you were given by your aunt.
Yeah, and also, plastic is disposable material.
Mm-hmm.
But, not necessary to use expensive stuff, but, it's real stuff.
Mm.
And you have to take care of.
Right. So respect to something you always use.
Yes.
Right, that's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so that reminds me of Japanese school kids. You know, we always had to clean a classroom
at the end of the day. Oh, yes, this is really a good education, like, I think. Yes.
Yeah, and I think the last World Cup, we cheered and we did crazy things, but then we cleaned up everything at the stadium. Mm-hmm. So it's like an educational thing.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to clean up at the end of whatever we do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my, it reminded me. Mm-hmm. I heard that this program, you did one at mm-hmm. the Global Suwashitsu,
yes.
which, who owns this amazing Japanese space, mm-hmm. is owned by Steve.
Yes.
Globus, and mm-hmm. who came here and we talked. So,
yes.
Yeah. So how was the program?
It was really good. The space is amazing. Mm. I remember one of the client, a French girl that was twin. Mm-hmm. They really like 7 years old, French girl. Mm-hmm. And they really, really love Japanese mm-hmm. traditional space.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me when I grow up, I really want to leave Japanese traditional house like this.
Oh, wow. Also, listeners, if you don't know too much about Global Suwashitsu, it's on 19th or 17th Street? Oh, no, 17th Street and Broadway,
yes.
in Manhattan.
Uh-huh. And it's hidden Japanese.
Yeah, so you go up in the elevator, and where is this? Really tatami and beautiful yeah. Japanese space. Mm-hmm. Right, so, and you serve the food there?
Food there, and I work with a Chef Yoko, mm-hmm. and she prepare amazing, you know, meal mm-hmm. for kids and adults.
Like traditional Japanese?
It's a little bit arranged because this program is just, you know, focused on kids.
Mm.
So we need to a little bit arrange, but we use seasonal, right. you know, ingredients.
Mm, maybe not the pizza, but something else. Right. Okay, and how many kids participated?
Not so many because it's private. Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if our listeners want to have, you know, their kids to have this experience, mm-hmm. are you planning to have more?
This is seasonal mm-hmm. in the cities, and we would like to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, but Chef Yoko is very busy,
mm-hmm.
and we are on hold right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, when she's ready, and we're going to restart. And also, Global Suwashitsu is, you know, different people are attending,
mm-hmm.
and the children doesn't know in the table.
Right.
And children are so nervous.
Right. Yeah.
So I think so. You know, it's better to go to someone's house mm. and have a party,
right.
like a birthday party. It's mm. something special. Maybe it's easier for them.
Right. So yeah. if for instance, one of our listeners wanted to, let's have a party and mm. kids and teach, kids about Japanese tableware.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what else do you teach, like how to eat or the etiquette?
How to use chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And also Japanese manner. If you go to, you know, restaurant and mm-hmm. The title of itadakimasu mm-hmm. itself is, you know, phrase before we eat food.
Right.
Itadakimasu meaning we will eat. And also showing appreciation
mm-hmm.
to the people prepare the meal
right.
and cook, and also the life of the animal.
Mm-hmm. So, right. So sacrifice, and we really...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So the kind of like a whole package of educating kids, reading, mm-hmm. and if our listeners want to have, you know, customized party,
yes.
they can contact you,
uh-huh.
and then
yeah.
you can do it.
And I will help for onigiri workshop at Landale's Island Park. It's like a north of south of east. No, a Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
There is an island. Uh-huh. There is a freeze art show.
Roosevelt? No.
No. Northern than Roosevelt.
Mm.
Landale Island?
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yes. Yeah. So there is a non-profit organization, and there is an urban farm.
Mm.
And, there's, you know, making rice there.
Right.
And there will be a rice planting event June 4th.
June 4th.
Yes.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah.
June 4th.
June 4th, Saturday?
I think so.
Okay. I need to check.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to tell about onigiri.
Okay.
It's a rice bowl.
Right.
So, the student is coming and participate, you know, the, helping for plant rice and making onigiri.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So where can we find that information? At the Kitchen New York?
Yeah, maybe I should post.
Yes, you should. Right. So June 4th. Yes. Yeah, listeners. Check.
But I don't know. I think it's you know, particular local student already, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the program. So I was invited to just...
So it's closed to the public.
Yes.
Right.
But this is very interesting, you know, workshop. So, but I'm, you know, very happy to do that.
Okay. Right. So, but basically you're open to, you know, request to... Mm-hmm. Teach kids about Japanese etiquettes and tableware and all those cultural parts.
I'm working for high-end people, and I need to have a balance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And also message is for everybody. Yes.
Right. But you are creating a future Kumiko by teaching kids. I believe really seriously. Right. So, okay. And you have also offered a service for adults, right?
Yes.
So what kind of...
You know, adult for itself.
Yeah.
So I'm planning the event. The title is Learning Japanese Culture for Ultimate Enjoyment. It's like I'm planning, you know, sake tasting, like finding your favorite sake. And you can, and also another theme is kintsugi.
Right, kintsugi is an amazing art.
Yes.
So usually something's broken, it's thrown away in Western culture. But the broken part is kind of mended with gold, right?
But actually put together by urushi. And gold
the
is...
Lacquer.
Yes.
Right.
And gold is like, you know, decoration. But this is beautiful old technique. So if you buy, you know, expensive, you know, ceramics and broken, you can fix.
Right.
It's kind of sentimental, you know.
Right. But I've seen the art, and there's a, you know, young artist too. I've seen some videos, and then I feel like breaking things and get into me. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. So that kind of theme, and then you, of course, you showcase your tableware.
Yes. Yeah. You know, they have, you know, something, you know. I invited a specialist, like, you know, sake expert or, you know, kintsugi expert or rushi expert, and they can give a lecture very casually. But, you know, after that, we can drink sake and a little, you know, appetizer with, you know, I'm serving with ceramics.
Right. So $200 ceramics per piece. Right. Yeah, but it's amazing. It's so beautiful. Like, each piece is different.
Yes.
So
people touch and use, people we understand, you know.
So are you planning a project now, like this kind of event sometime
Yes,
soon?
I'm thinking start from July, but, you know, maybe probably August. You know, ideally, you know, from September, you know, everything is start from, you know, fall in New York.
Right.
But, you know, I need to go away, go back to Japan to, you know, go to Keelan.
Get more products.
Yeah, so in September. So I just want to have maybe play event in summertime, like August, and I can do in October.
So basically, say, like 10 people gather at the event.
Yeah.
And then they can have, depending on the theme, they can enjoy like how to taste something, drink sake with the beautiful tableware and how to use them.
Yes.
Which is not easy, because if you go to an expensive kaiseki restaurant, you're like, oh, this is beautiful. I don't know. I cannot break it. And I don't know what to do with it. So you can learn how to deal with it.
Yes. And also in the restaurant, and, you know, waiter and the chef can explain, you know, the food. But I think it's that, you know, people need to eat. So, you know, we cannot ask. Usually people cannot ask so many questions.
Right.
So, but that event, so you can ask many things.
Right. Yeah. So it's a fun and tasty and educational classes. Okay. So the Kitchen New York website, that's where to go to check out. Okay. What's the website address?
KICHUNY.com.
Okay. Kichu.com.
Yes.
Okay.
New York, NY. Yes.
Okay. So, we'll tell. We'll talk about. We'll announce the website at the end of the show too.
And also, okay.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, let's see. So the, you know, the, I heard that the Japanese ceramics started to be made in 6th century, in Asuka period, it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So there must be a lot of regional variations mm-hmm. of Japanese ceramics, right? Mm. So could you tell us some examples, you know, like the basic ceramic styles?
You mean regional variation?
Yeah.
It's like a famous one, like mm-hmm. Arita
right.
From Saga Prefecture mm-hmm. and Mashikoyaki is mm-hmm. from Tochigi, mm-hmm. like a Mino. Minoyaki is from Gifu, mm-hmm. and Shigarayaki is from Shiga, mm-hmm. and Hageyaki is from Yamaguchi, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Bizen, you know, from Okinawa.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you know some differences between them?
Style is different, and yeah. also clay is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the, of course the patterns are different depending on mm-hmm. the history, mm-hmm. and like if it was encouraged by the samurai, mm-hmm. or the lord of the region, it's more like decorative because mm-hmm. they had money or influence.
Yes.
Right? And it can be more kind of democratic, simple elsewhere. Right. And, well, glaze on the glaze. And I think ingredients really reflect the terroir of yeah. the region.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun. I think some of my friends went to Japan mm-hmm. and they're just visiting all those potters. You know, potteries,
mm-hmm.
just see, compare, and then, of course, they collect all those ceramics.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. I think it's a really fun way to discover Japanese mm-hmm. regional so,
yeah.
characteristics. Right. So maybe you can tell us some tips how to find nice Japanese tableware at a reasonable price to practice. Do you know any other places?
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to tell, but, you know, we talk about, you know, what is the difference between, you know, Western and Eastern,
mm-hmm.
and we can use different things.
Right.
So, you know, you can buy just each one, and mm-hmm. you can use, you know, different kind of stuff.
Right.
And I think I suggest to find your favorite one, so you don't need to buy sets all the time.
Mm, okay.
You know, once.
Right.
So, you know, sometime you can use glass because it looks cool.
Mm.
And also you need to consider color.
Right.
I think as Western people use white, very light color,
mm-hmm.
but we use dark color, like a black plate.
Right.
So, you know, that light color is standing out.
Mm.
It's very modern.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the food color changes seasonally, and if Japanese mm-hmm. cuisine really emphasizes on that seasonal change.
Yes.
So it's kind of like contrast or complementary, mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. contrast of colors.
Yeah. Right. Just enjoy, and you can find, you know, your favorite one. There's no rule.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And in one place, I think, you know, the Okonomi in Wilmersburg.
Uh-huh.
And Yuji Haraguchi, who owns Okonomi, he holds some ceramic where,
uh-huh.
you know, there's a potter, I think, upstate, and then the person customized all the plates and bowls at Okonomi.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little fair on the second floor of Okonomi.
Oh,
once
yeah,
in a
I
while.
Went there. Yes,
yeah.
There is a tea shop, a little tea demonstration.
Yeah, that was Zach Manga who came to my show
last
week. So it's like everything connected.
Okay, wow.
Right. So anyway, so uh-huh. there are ways to find Japanese ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Korean.
Korean,
in
yes.
Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're very extensive collection. Mm-hmm.
And also in East Village, there is Makari.
Uh-huh.
So they are selling antique. You know,
That's like a very chic, very nice storefront.
Yeah. And she has a nice collection. I go sometime.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. So there are ways to find Japanese tableware
yes.
in New York. Right. Okay. And so how do you take care of Japanese ceramics? Not to break, not to drop it.
You have to focus on what you are now.
Okay. No, I don't think about anything
yes.
else.
It's like, you know, people are meditating, but, you know, taking care of, you know, one thing is like doing meditation,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Right, no dishwasher.
But I think it's actually, you know, you can use that.
Mm.
But I prefer to, you know, wash by hand.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's kind of like, you know, this texture
mm-hmm.
and this tactile experience is a part of owning mm-hmm. Japanese tableware.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And also, I show you the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And one is the cup I use every day.
Mm-hmm.
So our color has changing. When you use more.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's personalized.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you drink like dark tea,
mm-hmm.
you get a nice stain. mm-hmm. and some cracks get the color. Mm-hmm. So very personal.
Yes, very personal, yes.
Mm. So it's really worth owning good mm-hmm. Japanese ceramics.
And take care
very well. Right. It's like a plant or something.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Way of personal attachment to it.
Uh-huh. And also like your body.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Yes. Right, so become a part of your life.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So what are you planning next? I mean, what's your future plan for Kitchen New York?
I just want to have more event because if I just show the, you know, products and people said, oh, it's beautiful, it's nice, you know, people not going to understand why it's so expensive, you know, why it's, you know, unique. Mm-hmm. It's just a different piece. But if people can, you know, touch and use and feel and mm. people understand. So that's why I like to do more event. Mm. But you know, I'm using expensive tableware. Mm. So it's not big. It's like a very exclusive private
right.
event. Yeah.
Mm.
So the one is, you know, learning Japanese culture for ultimate mm-hmm. enjoyment. So each time, you know, each time has a theme.
Mm.
And also, you know, some people ask me to do some special catering party. Mm. So I should work with chef.
Right.
And, you know, small party, like a 10 to 20.
Mm.
So,
well, that's a very good, unique party mm-hmm. to throw. Right?
Yeah. So, and so I'm, you know, I saw my friend last week and she's, you know, making, you know, she's started to learn how to make ceramics. And she told me why it's so expensive. This shape is so, you know, simple.
Mm.
But I explained, and of course it's beautiful. And she understand, you know, when she touched, in sensibility is totally different. So she understand. But it's, you know, she suggests me to, you know, showing, you know, making video how Kihumi is, you know, making. So maybe it's interesting.
Yeah. Is there any video on your website too?
I have to find that, you know, the person can make a video. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and the place is very, very, you know, historical and, you know, even Japanese people cannot get in easily. So it's very exclusive place.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, too bad our listeners cannot see this, these amazing ceramics right now, but I'm going to post some photos on the website.
Mm-hmm. Sounds nice.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today, Miko.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so really please keep us posted on your new ceramics and amazing programs. Right, so listeners, if you'd like to know more about Kitchen New York, please visit kitchennewyork.com. That is kichuny.com. That's kichuny.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, and Stitcher Podcasts. And today's show was made possible by Tip Toen, and our engineer is David Tatasuyore. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and 2 tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.